You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 3rd of February 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, unfortunately, there's been an arrest in Austria. Mr. Bond has been arrested. For those who don't know who he was a very popular white rapper who produced parody raps, probably the most popular of all the meme musicians to come out of 2015, 2016. Back then, there was loads and loads and loads of variations on well-known pop songs that had witty nationalist lyrics added to them. I think TRS were responsible for a lot of it. There was a guy called Moriaku. Mr. Bond was particularly popular, and all he really concentrated on was doing these rap songs, and he was a very good rapper. And when TRS had a big falling out and Mike Enoch got doxxed, he left TRS and went out on his own, and he was getting, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of listens to his music. I mean, just incredible download figures. And he was pretty much deplatformed from everywhere. About the only place that you could find him was on Mines. We played some of his music back then. And I've never been really that keen on rap music. So, and I've never really recognized the songs that he was making parodies of, but he was certainly very, very good at what he did. Very, very creative, and certainly up there to the standards of the professional rappers, I would suggest. What he was doing was really applying the same rules that apply to gangster rap to making white nationalist rap. So, of course, the lyrics were extremely over the top, talking about violent issues, well over the top Holocaust jokes. And of course, when you listen to gangster rap, a lot of it is extremely violent, extremely misogynistic, extremely anti-white. And basically what he was doing was providing a commentary on that. And this idea of meme music, incidentally, I mean, this has been going on since the 30s, when we were at war with Germany. The Germans put out an orchestra. They had an orchestra called Charlie and His Orchestra, and Charlie would make jazz music with witty lyrics poking fun at Winston Churchill. There's a particularly memorable track where they are having a go at the BBC, which is particularly prescient when you think how many people are disgusted at the BBC today. Well, the Germans, the National Socialists, were particularly disgusted at the BBC back in the late 30s, early 40s. And they had this orchestra that was writing all these witty lyrics to contemporary jazz songs. And they were broadcasting that on the European radio tower. So Britain was receiving this music. I believe it was on a Wednesday night, 9 p.m. or something like that. 25% of the British population would tune in to listen to this. And also there was William Joyce on there, Lord Haw-Haw. Apparently Winston Churchill actually enjoyed listening to Charlie and His Orchestra and found them to be quite witty. But that was really the origin of this idea of taking contemporary music and adding witty lyrics to it to get your point across. And that's really what Mr. Bond was doing. And then I guess it must have been about 2017, 2018 maybe, after this split with TRS, and suddenly there seemed to be this thing with people claiming to be nationalists that were carrying out terrorist attacks. And a lot of people around that time seemed to be supportive of that. And myself and Grandpa Dan, we were on a particular forum and we tried to talk people out of this and said, well, look, this is really not helpful and you should not be expressing any support for any activities like that. And Mr. Bond, unfortunately, was one of those that was expressing support for this. Myself and Grandpa, we left the forum after that. And since then, Mr. Bond became a bit of an outcast from the wider movement. And his music seemed to take on a different meaning. I mean, up until that point, you could have said, well, his lyrics were just jokes. But he seemed to fedpost, basically. He became an arch fedposter. And then in Germany, an attack happened, I think in 2018, and the guy that carried out the attack was live streaming it, and he was also playing a Mr. Bond track, which really was unfortunate for Mr. Bond because it drew him to the attention of the authorities, and apparently they had been looking for him since then. They've had a massive intelligence services hunt on for Mr. Bond. And apparently they found him in Austria. And of course they are saying that he was inciting violence with his rap music. And if you look at his posts, he was inciting violence. I mean, you really cannot avoid that. So it's all most unfortunate. They found him with a mixing desk, a World War II era flag, and I think they might have found a weapon, something like that. They're now saying that he's looking at years inside and also millions in copyright claims. And I don't know how they can charge him millions in copyright claims when he's making cover versions and he's not making any money out of it. I mean, he's putting this music out for free, essentially, and people listen to it because they found it to be funny and over the top, and gangster rap is over the top. And I would support his right to free speech and to make bad taste jokes, but unfortunately, he was also a Fed poster. And this should really be a lesson to people. Don't Fed post. Don't say things that you don't mean. And he will now be charged with incitement to terrorism. There's no way to avoid that. It's an awful thing that's happened. But really, he shouldn't have been making posts glorifying it, really. Anyway, best wishes to him, but if only he'd listened to myself and Grandpa Dan when we pointed out to him what the result of him posting this sort of support was for terrorism was likely to result in. And the rest of the people that were on that forum, and I'm just glad that myself and Grandpa Dan, we left. Anyway, moving on to another subject here. After putting out our statement on anti-Semitism the other day, there's been some responses. Had some very positive responses from people, actually, saying that was very well put and very well explained. And there were other people that didn't really understand it. And they were pointing out negative things that Jews have done towards us, as if that means that we should blame them for that. But of course, the negative things that get pointed out, they have actually benefited Jews. So you can't condemn Jews for that. what I was trying to point out is that the fault lies with us. You can think of the old fable of the scorpion and the frog. And the scorpion asks the frog if he can have a lift across the lake. And the frog says, oh, yes, but you'll sting me, won't you? And the scorpion says, I won't sting you. I want to get a lift across the lake. Why would I sting you? So the frog starts to give the scorpion a lift across the lake, and the scorpion stings the frog, and the frog drowns. Now, who is at fault there, the scorpion or the frog? It's the frog that is at fault. And all the while, the frog blames the scorpion instead of accepting the blame himself. It's going to keep happening, isn't it? And this is the point that I am trying to make. Whatever is going on around us is our own fault. And I was pointing this out the other day, and I just couldn't get this through to somebody. And then he was saying, oh, you're talking of the royal we, aren't you? And yes, of course, I'm talking about us as a people, not us as individuals. In the same way that we are looking at Jews or other ethnic minorities, we're looking at them as a group, and we're looking at the behavior of these groups within society. We're not looking at individuals, and we should not get angry at individuals because of the behavior of the group. And we should not see ourselves as being anti these other groups. We are in competition with them. Essentially, being an anti-Semite is like being a sore loser. It's like being a bad loser. Jews have done very well in the last century. What that means is that we should be looking at what we are doing wrong that has led to us not doing so well in the last century. And I see the fact that we aren't doing so well in the ethnic competition down to ourselves not acting in tune with our character. These other groups, they're acting in tune with their racial character. That's why they are being successful. We, as white people, are not acting in tune with our white racial character. If you look at computer simulations between extended kinship groups, looking at ethnocentrism, all things being equal, if you start out with equal numbers for each group, the group that is the most charitable to its own people and the most harsh in its treatment of outsiders wins the competition. Now, we are the majority. We vastly outnumber our competitors, our competitor groups within society. So there should be no need for us to be harsh in our treatment of outsiders. All we should have to do is be charitable to our own people and indifferent to the outsiders, and we should win the competition. And all the while we are being encouraged to be anti our competitors, we can be accused of being anti-Semites. And it's not against the law to be an anti-Semite. But if the police hear that you are an anti-Semite, then they will investigate you because they will be looking, because they know that they will be able to find something which shows that you're trying to incite hatred against Jews. So we don't want to fall into the trap of being seen as anti-Semites. It's the same with the word racist. We don't want to fall into the trap of being seen as racists. It's not against the law to be a racist. But again, it means that if the police investigate you, then they will likely find something that that incriminates you for inciting hatred against other ethnic minorities. Now, we are not racists. We seek an end to racism, and the way that we seek an end to racism is through the separation of the races. It's very simple. Very simple indeed. Black Lives Matter, they want an end to racism, but their method for an end to racism is to take from whites and give to blacks. Our method of how to deal with racism is to separate whites from blacks, so there is no more discrimination, so there can be no chance for there to be any discrimination. We are just advocating for us to live separately. So we are not racists. We're seeking an end to racism, and we are not anti-Semites. We are in competition with Semites. And if you look at things in this way, then you're looking at things in a white way. All the while you're looking at things as if you're an anti-Semite, you're looking at things through Jewish eyes. all the way you're looking at things and thinking you're a racist, you're looking at things through black eyes or non-white eyes. We should be trying to frame this in the way that white people see it and in a way that is in tune with our racial character. Somebody else was pointing out the other day, they were saying, well, Jews hate white people. Well, that may be so, that may not be so. May not be so for all Jews, all individuals. But it is certainly not in tune with the white man's character to hate anything in creation. We shouldn't be hating anything at all in creation. And when we do, we lose a part of ourselves. What we should be concerned with is our own people and looking out for the best interests of our own people. I mean, you can look around you at the animal kingdom and you can say, well, crocodiles eat the other animals. Does that mean you hate crocodiles? No, it means you avoid crocodiles. It means you put things in place to prevent you being eaten by a crocodile. And it doesn't mean you hate crocodiles. And it's the same principle that we should be acting out here so that we don't fall into these traps that have been set for us. And that's what I'm talking about. We need to see this as a competition and a competition between groups. We need to see our analysis as being of groups and not of individuals. And we should always be courteous to members of other races, and we shouldn't want them to fear us. We certainly shouldn't want them to fear us or to see us as being hostile in any way. All we are doing is advocating for what is best for our own people, which is the point of life. That is what the point of all these different groups being in competition is, isn't it? It's so that the best group wins. And it was always the white race which was the best group. Whenever they took polls of other countries, who would you most want to be judged by in a trial? And they would say white people. And most of the time they would say the British, because we were so known for being just and merciful and charitable. And these are the traits that we need to be concentrating on. Not falling to the temptation to hate our competitors. If we are currently losing in the competition, that means, and we notice that means we are being corrected. And these other groups are there to correct us. They're like a punishment so that we mend our ways. And that's what I'm concerned with. That's what we're concerned with here at Radio Albion, is getting white people to mend their ways, so that we start succeeding once again, so that we prosper once again. And when you talk about things in that way, I think you're far more likely to bring people to our cause than being hateful or being hostile, because that is not the white man's way. We have always reached out to people and been good to these other peoples. They may make out today that we oppressed them or we were mean to them, but we know that that is not true. And if we come across as anti-Semites today, or if we come across as racists today, we just confirm what these other groups think of us. So we need to break with that mentality. And I think this is also what Jason Kerner talks about when he talks about reframing the narrative and not falling for these terms which our opponents use. That's all they are. They're just our contestants. They are our opponents. And if we're not doing so well at the moment, we should not be bad losers. We should not be sore losers and hate our opponents, wish harm upon our opponents. If they wish harm upon us, so what? That's their lookout. They're the ones that will suffer for that. They're the ones that will have warped personalities because of that. Being consumed by hate is not a good way to be. This is why these unfortunate families that have members that have been brutally murdered by ethnic minorities, they come out and say, we forgive the murderer. we forgive the murderer. The reason for them doing that is because they don't want to be consumed by hate, because they know how harmful that is to them. They understand that it is better for their own personal mental health to forgive that person rather than be consumed with desires for revenge. That's not the way that white people are meant to be. That is not in tune with our character. Of course, this doesn't mean that we don't hold these other groups up to scrutiny. We do hold these other groups up to scrutiny, because it's from observing these other groups' actions that we learn about our actions and we learn about our character. We see things that we don't like, and we think, well, why don't we like that? Well, we don't like that because it's not in tune with our character, so that's not a way we should be behaving. If we behave like that, we won't win. We won't win. We'll just turn into our opponents. We need to be true to what it means to be white. And what it means to be white, it means to be on the side of order. It means to show virtue. It means to be just. It means to be merciful. It means to be charitable. And it means to win. And we were winning up until the last century when we stopped being like this. When we stopped being like this and we stopped listening to our ancestors and we stopped listening to our religious traditions and we started thinking that we knew better. You know, all the while the frog just sits there blaming the scorpion for being a scorpion, the frog is not going to work out how he can defend himself from the scorpion. I mean, he could put a leaf on his back, couldn't he? If he put a big leaf on his back, then the scorpion wouldn't be able to sting him. That's essentially what the church did. The church had this law, sicit Judaeus non, which essentially meant that nobody had the right to attack the Jews or to attack their synagogues or to attack their person or to do anything like that. But at the same time, the Jews did not have a right to subvert the Christian society, and that worked very well until we decided that we were going to ignore the church and we were going to have humanism. So there are ways that we can protect ourselves from the harms of multiculturalism. And there are ways that we can do it that are not hostile to these other groups within society. We just have to face up to the fact that we do have these groups in our society and we do have laws to prevent us from being hostile towards them. But we should still be able to win, because all we have to do is be charitable to our own kind, and with our numbers, because we vastly outnumber them, we're guaranteed to win. I mean, the computer simulation programs tell us that we will win. The more of us that act with virtue, the more chance there is of Providence providing a leader that we can coalesce around. I think we're incredibly lucky to have Mark Cullett as a leader in our movement in Britain. He's a very good, very virtuous, very charitable man. He sets a good example. People can look to Mark and they can emulate him and know that they are doing the right thing. And that's what we need. We need people that set a good example. And then more people will join us. And this is what we have seen. We have seen thousands of people that want to get involved with Patriotic Alternative. There was a debate the other day with Harry and Horace and David Vance. And it wasn't really a debate. It was just a conversation. And there were some people in the chat that were saying, you should pick up on this and you should challenge David Vance about this. What is the point in challenging another white man who is being friendly towards us? What is the point in trying to make enemies with people that we broadly agree with on lots of subjects? There is no point to doing that. We want to be charitable to our own people. And that's the way we will win. And the upshot of this conversation was that we have a friendly person in the Civnat camp, somebody who is quite high up in the Civnat camp. There is no need for us to be making enemies among our people, especially not those sort of people that broadly agree with us on much of the platforms that we stand on anyway. And that's the way that we need to be looking at things, that is the way that capitalizes the most on our racial character. And how is it that our opponents seek to weaken us? How is it that they seek to subvert us? Well, it's through starting arguments, isn't it? They wish to disrupt our activities. And the way that they disrupt our activities is by sending people in who fed post, encourage violence, people who are anti-Christian, and people who will look for ways that they can increase rifts and grudges and arguments between us. They will particularly look if there's any gossip that they can use to drive a wedge between us. So we need to be the peacemakers. We need to be the bridge builders between whites, between civic nationalists and ethno-nationalists. And that's the way that we will succeed. It's obviously the way that we will succeed, because it's doing the opposite of that is the way that the state seeks to weaken us. And that's the way that our opponents seek to weaken us. So that's what we need to be concentrating on, is being good to our own people. We don't need to be mean to the others. Just be indifferent to them. Don't go to that Chinese takeaway. Don't go to that Indian curry house. Don't use that taxi that has a non-white driver. Homeschool your children. Don't have them brainwashed in the school. Get together with other like-minded whites and school your children together. Form a white community. Try and make it so that none of your money leaves the community. It stays within the white community. And just be really kind to other whites so that they think that you are a good person. So that they know that there are still good people around. Everybody isn't degenerate. We need to give encouragement to other whites so that they don't feel depressed, so that they don't feel that they're the only ones left that still think morally and uprightly. And then when they know that you're a nationalist, that they will want to join nationalism. They won't think you're some evil white supremacist neo-Nazi, because they will know that you're a good person. That's the way that we win this. Not by fed posting, not by hating our competitors. I mean, it's just such bad sportsmanship to be hating your competitors because they happen to be doing well for the first time in 20 centuries. I mean, it's incredible, really. We really need to look at this in a completely different way to how it has been looked at before, because how it has been looked at before has been entirely framed by the way our opponents see it. And we need to be looking at it in the way that best suits us, in the way that best serves us, and it just happens to be within the law to be looking at it this way as well, which is obviously why we are encouraged not to see it like this. I hope I've managed to explain it a little bit better today. And if anybody's got questions about this, then please do contact me, because, you know, like any theories, it needs to be robustly challenged so that it can be refined. But this is the way that we've been thinking, I think, for the last couple of years. It just hadn't been put into specific wording until now. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.